where I've like, oh, here's a bunch of things about podcasting as a medium or a format that I've learned, but I've learned a lot about what it means to try and preserve something, what it means to try and preserve sound, what it means to create a project that I thought was just going to be this thing that lived in my iTunes thing on my computer and has become like a digital humanities project. Like those.
This is Bill McKibben from 350.org, and you're listening to WGXE, that's 90.7 on your FM dial, ACRA, putting the community back in radio.
Sturman
and Carmen Borgia,
and we're the hosts of Ukuleles Unleashed.
Tune in the third Tuesday of each month from 8 to 10 p.m. to hear the latest,
the hottest, the most raging work
going on in the world of ukuleles.
We'll always have a few friends join us to discuss the finer details of this perfectly fine instrument. Join us as we have a listen to a uke or two.
Ukuleles Unleashed
on WGXC Acre 90.7.
Tune in to all sorts of live radio shows every Sunday on WGXC 90.7 FM, beginning at 8 a.m., where the Reverend Kim Singletary is live with There's a Bright Side Somewhere from Columbia County, every Sunday at 8 a.m. Then at 9 a.m., Janessa Hope McKay brings you a slap of reality live from the WGXC studio in Hudson in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street. She's playing her top music pick and talking about her hot topics of the week until 11 a.m. At 1 p.m., every Sunday, DJ Neva Wartell is live with music for the masses from Catskill, with sounds from around the world. At 4 p.m. every Sunday, Carlene Murphy and Azuka Legba are live with the Lile Latan version of the WGXC afternoon show until 6 p.m. And every Sunday night, Tony Fallon is live with the Irish show at 8 p.m. on the radio from Acre on 90.7 WGXC.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Philip Grant of Nassau, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Like a fire hydrant, like a public drinking fountain, like a park bench, WGXC is always there for you, at your service. 90.7 FM, Community Radio.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you have tuned into the WGXC News Update. Go to the WGXC website at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Ariel Zangler reports for the Daily Freeman that Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan is in two elections for two different congressional seats on the same day, August 23rd. Ryan is running against Republican Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro to finish out Antonio Delgado's term in the 19th Congressional District after Delgado resigned to become New York's Lieutenant Governor. Ryan is also running in a Democratic primary election for the 18th Congressional District against Orange County resident Moses Mugalisi. Redistricting changed the outlines of the districts, moving Ryan into the 18th District further south. There is even more confusing news in this election. While the Daily Freeman reports that as of the June 30th, quote, deadline for certification, only Ryan and Moses Mugalisi remained on the official ballot for the August 23rd primary election, unquote, to replace Delgado. Mugalisi's website does not mention a run for the House of Representatives, but says that, quote, Moses Mugalisi is a candidate for U.S. Senate, unquote. Mugalisi's website is often vague, saying he worked in fields but not naming the specific employers and got degrees without naming the specific colleges. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Roger Hannigan-Gilson reports in the Times-Union that talks with two Democrats running in an August 23rd primary election for the new 19th Congressional District about what they would do about abortion rights after the Supreme Court allowed states to ban the medical procedure. Both attorney Josh Riley, based near Binghamton, and Jamie Chaney, a Dutchess County businessperson and farmer, support abortion rights. Riley said that abortions are, quote, decisions for women to make, not politicians or the government, unquote. Chaney said, quote, I'd like us to build out our health infrastructure so everyone can make a very highly informed decision by 24 weeks. I would prefer to see that to any further amendment to the law, unquote. Chaney said she supports women coming from other states to have abortions, but also, quote, equally strongly that this in no way increases any kind of economic burden on families in our state, unquote. In Congress, Chaney would not have a say on funding abortions for those outside New York, which would be a budget matter for the state legislature. Riley wants to stop bounty programs that reward citizens for telling authorities about abortions, saying statutes need to be changed, quote, to make those bounty programs never happen again, unquote. Read more about this story in the Times-Union. Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that Governor Kathy Hochul's office on July 1st announced an amendment to New York's Constitution about abortion rights would be added to the legislature's current extraordinary session. Lawmakers were called back to address gun laws after the Supreme Court struck down the state's concealed carry law. But many lawmakers also wanted to address the abortion issue after the Supreme Court allowed states to ban the medical procedure. Quote, recent Supreme Court rulings have threatened the rights of New Yorkers to make decisions about their own bodies and our right to protect New Yorkers from gun violence, but we refuse to stand idly by and we must act, unquote, Hochul said. Quote, I thank Majority Leader Stuart Cousins and Speaker Heastie for working through the day and night on these bold actions in response to these reckless Supreme Court decisions. We will enact legislation to strengthen our laws on concealed carry weapons and building on our nation-leading protections for abortion patients and providers. New York State will take an unprecedented step toward enshrining the fundamental right to abortion access into our state constitution. Let me be clear, we will do everything in our power to protect New Yorkers, unquote. Now state legislators will debate whether to vote on a broad equality amendment or a narrow provision just to ensure abortion rights. Jason McGuire, the executive director of the Conservative New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms, opposes any amendment, saying in a Twitter post it would, quote, pit conscious protections for pro-life doctors against a woman seeking a late-term abortion, unquote. Legislators can only start the process to approve a constitutional amendment this summer. To pass a constitutional amendment requires the approval of two separately elected sessions of the legislature and a general public ballot referendum. So it would take a legislative vote this year, another next year, and then could be on a statewide ballot in 2024. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
In a 6-3 decision on Thursday, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled against the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, diminishing the agency's ability to regulate power plant emissions under the Clean Air Act. Some see the ruling in West Virginia versus EPA as a setback for efforts to minimize the effects of climate change. But Jason Albritton, the Nature Conservancy's Director of U.S. Climate and Energy Policy, feels there are still ways to meet the nation's 2030 goal of reducing greenhouse gas emissions by 50%.
There's no one thing that the U.S. can do to solve the climate challenge and to meet our Paris commitment. Executive action is still needed. It may be harder in light of this decision, but there are still a lot of tools in the federal government and executive agencies and environmental protection agencies and others to deal with climate change.
Albritton feels action is needed from Congress to address climate change and for states like New York to continue leading the charge to curb it. Part of the state's clean energy standard is to get 70% of its power from renewable resources like wind and solar by 2030. The new decision could be a hurdle in making it happen on time. Attorney Sean Donahue adds the court ruling is unusual because it even defies what many power companies said they want, which is to move towards renewable energy. Donahue, who represented several organizations that were respondents in the case, called the energy industry's show of support for the EPA's case remarkable.
None of the regulated entities, power companies, sought review of the lower court's decision. They, in fact, supported it. They were on the side of the Biden EPA in the case, urging the court to uphold the lower court's decision, uphold the broader vision of EPA's authority.
One such organization that came to the side of the EPA is the Edison Electric Institute, which represents all investor-owned electric companies in the U.S. I'm Edwin J. Vieira, New York News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
And now here is your WGXE weather update. Your forecast for the holiday weekend. Well, on Saturday, showers are likely, possibly a thunderstorm. It will be mostly cloudy with the temperature high near 84 degrees. Saturday night, a chance of showers, mainly before 7 p.m., it will be partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 59 degrees. Sunday will be sunny with a temperature high near 83 degrees. And Sunday night will be mostly clear with a temperature low of around 57 degrees. And on Monday, Independence Day, it will be sunny with a high near 84 degrees. And Monday night will be partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 60 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXE, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
WGXE is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Nora E. Edelman of Athens, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXE as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXE sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click Donate. Thank you for your support.
WGXE believes in creative use of the airwaves. WGXC is a program division of the nonprofit arts organization Wave Farm, based in Acre, New York. We are the only station in the country to dedicate significant airtime to radio as an artistic medium. Tune in to transmission art and experimental sound programming overnight and on Saturdays, and hear artists from all over the world who sculpt and compose with the airwaves.
All the candlelights, this is it, the night of nights. No more rehearsing and nursing a part. We know every card by heart. All the candlelights, this is it. We'll hit the heights, and oh, what heights we'll hit. On with the show, this is it.
For some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
I'm I made him aware. Think straight.
Sounds like Daryl to me.
Some weak.
Bitter and twisted. Bit.
Melissa and Robert drowned.
Next, we tune in the latest episode of the I Have Seen Niagara radio theater show from G. Lucas Crane and Rick Royer. The show airs Saturday mornings on the WGXC Morning Show between 9 and 10 a.m. and every early Wednesday night just after midnight.
Devil's Hole Pizza and Ribs has been in business since 1972. They operate out of a mean one-story building nestled in front of a defunct factory on Niagara Falls Boulevard. The parking lot is cracked and worn, and the sidewalk in front of the door has nearly returned to dirt. The windows are covered by weather-beaten cardboard, and the sign out front was melted by a lightning strike.
Oh, yeah, man, that place has got the haunts. Nobody goes in, nobody comes out, but it's always emanating, like, smell of like, hot, fresh pizza and blood.
Says Ronnie LaHoyt, who owns and lives above a knives and puzzles shop across the street from Devil's Hole. So what the hell is up with this place? Is it haunted, as locals like LaHoyt believe, or is it just bad? I am Zach L. Keebaugh, investigative reporter for Channel 9 Buffalo WZTV News, and I aimed to find out.
You're watching Channel 9 WZTV News Buffalo. Channel 9 WZ. Channel 9 WZTV special feature.
First, though, I had to get out of my motel room. Easy enough, right? Not so fast. The door of my room was one of those hingeless doors, the kind that uses tape instead of hinges. Every time I tried to open it, I could feel something heavy pressing down on the other side. Mattresses.
Mattresses.
Somebody piled 3 or 4 mattresses in front of the door. They were wet too, man. They smelled like waterfall water. Anyway, it took me 20 or 30 minutes to squeeze my way out of a thin space I managed to budge between the frame and the door. Then, I knocked the mattresses to the ground where they flopped into a puddle. It was depressing. A guy came around to clean the parking lot, and when I asked him about it, he replied, "What mattresses? I don't see no mattresses." "Dude, there are mattresses stacked up right here," I responded.
"I have no idea what you're talking about,"
he said, and continued unloading trash from his trunk into a pile on a wheelchair ramp. Anyway, I arrived at Devil's Hole Pizza and Ribs at lunchtime. The small, poorly lit seating area was completely empty. Pieces of newspaper littered the floor. It felt like no heat had been on in the place for ages. There was no counter, merely a ragged chasm in the brown paneling that offered a view into the kitchen. A pulpy, middle-aged face suddenly appeared in the breach. "Let's have a pie. Make it a large and rib sub too," I called out. The pulpy face nodded very slightly and then disappeared. I took a seat and looked over the ancient laminated placemat. There was a little maze on it. You had to lead the pepperoni through the maze to the pizza on the other side. That was cool. And it occupied me for a while. It was then that I became aware of complete and total silence. Nothing moved through the chasm. It was the absence of sound that stunned me. It was an absence of life as well.
Blood.
They have killed their customers, it suddenly occurred to me. The ovens are inoperable. There will be no pizza. There will be only the end. This is your denouement. Yo! I called out. It was desperation more than anything else. The pulpy, expressionless face returned. "Yo, are you making that pizza? That rib sub?" I started backing away towards the door. I could feel the thin strands of sunlight as I drew closer. The pulpy face said nothing. Relax, Zach, I thought. I breathed. I stared at an old Niagara Falls pennant. It was from the Canadian side. A Mountie was saluting the falls. Calm me down a little bit. Say, how about a Loganberry?
Mattresses.
And then a bag was pushed through the chasm. The bottom was covered in grease, but there was something inside. It was the rib sub, and, as I unexpectedly found out later, the pizza too. An entire pizza pie shoved into a paper bag. It was eldritch, this pizza, made by phantoms. I threw a 20 at the chasm. Some change somehow appeared immediately, followed by a 2-liter of Loganberry in a styrofoam container.
All right now, enjoy your meal,
the chasm said. The pulpy figure was gone. I looked at the chasm. It grew suddenly gray outside. Nothing further was coming, I knew it. I thought about approaching, thought about trying to get a glimpse into the kitchen, but there was just no way, man. It was over. I had to accept it. The chasm had accepted it. I took one last look at the pennant, and it was gone. Nothing but cracked brown paneling. The pizza was good, though, and so was the sub. That's what you should take away from this. For Channel 9, this is Zach L. Kibau, reporting.
Now to absorb some local color through the magic of AM radio.
The Book of Revelations tells us to watch for the 7 signs of evil.
Bacon, sign of evil number 4.
Continuing our sign of evil countdown, here's Vanessa Williams.
Coming up next from our friends at WOOCLP, our partner station up in Troy, they did an interview with Nick Vanderkolk from the Love and Radio radio show about radio. But first, this next track is When Radios Sleep, What Dreams May Come, from renowned radio artist Anna Frith and Delaware County farmer and radio artist Tiana Kennedy.
Thank you.
Nick Vanderkoek, the producer of the podcast Love and Radio, visited the Uptown Summer Youth Employees at the Sanctuary for Independent Media and discussed podcasting techniques as the youth prepare to create audio stories of their own.
It's worked out for me pretty well, but like I kind of did everything opposite, like how you should.
I kind of grew up listening to a lot of sort of public radio.
One thing that they teach you in that kind of genre is that radio is a didactic medium. It's not enough to sort of present a story. You have to sort of like explain what it means, and you have to sort of explain everything. And that's a totally legit way of going about things. Like, there's a lot of stuff that I love that operates that way, but I personally always found that quite limited. And so even though the show has like evolved a lot over the last 13 years, it's always had that DNA in it of like, I didn't want to tell people like what they were supposed to feel and what they were supposed to think. And so that's why there's very little of me in it. While you're just hearing this voice, and people kind of have to piece it together kind of on their own, which I think can make for like a more powerful storytelling experience, for lack of a better term.
Do you think that radio has become less critical of itself? Radio or podcasts, they've become more narrative, more linear kind of storytelling. So do you think that it's, I mean, obviously it's changing.
Yeah.
Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? What are your thoughts on that?
I'm pretty mixed on it. I mean, I think in some ways, when I was starting out, there was like so little competition out there. And you would think with more shows, there's going to be like more diversity of approaches. But I think also, because there's money in there now, people want to do the thing that is definitely going to succeed. And they do end up sounding pretty similar. There are a lot of, especially in podcasting, there are a lot of shows that are just much easier to produce, mm-hmm. that are like kind of chat-based, and it's like people sitting in a room. And those require some work and thought to make still good, but it's much easier to get like advertisers for that. It's much easier to pitch that to like a network. I tend to record for hours and hours and hours and hours, and then that gets edited down. So I'd say each episode typically takes about a month of work.
How do you prep people for telling their story, and do you like ask them questions while they're doing it? Or?
Typically, and this is just sort of how, this wasn't necessarily intentional, but you tend to hear a lot more questions as the story goes on, because it's also just like, There's a certain style in sort of radio documentary, for lack of a better term, where you completely cut out the interviewer and it's just sort of this monologue. And I personally like to be reminded that there is someone else in the room that's asking questions, so that you have to have like a little bit of skepticism, I think. So I don't prep people other than to sort of describe the process and describe the show. And say, you know, this is all pre-recorded, so, like, if you want to back up and go again, that's totally cool. And then we just kind of wing it. And then you just have to sort of respect their space and kind of let them sort of take the lead on sort of what they're comfortable with, you know. I don't get to do face-to-face interviews all that much these days, but it's also quite... It's, like, relatively easy, too. Like, now you can kind of interview people from wherever. And there's lots of great tools where they can kind of mic themselves as well. Like, now we have advertisers, we have some resources, so we can usually get, like, an engineer to go and record the person in person. And so I'll interview them over the phone, or a producer of mine will interview them over the phone, and someone else will be in the room with them recording them. And then we combine the tape together, so it basically sounds like they're in the same room. That's called a tape sync. In general, I do two-hour interviews. The first one tends to have very little structure to it, where I'm really just kind of like just following my own curiosity about the person and just having a discussion around it. The second interview, at that point, I have a better understanding of like what the shape of the story ought to be.
So the second interview tends to be much more directed, just sort of like kind of the skeleton of the story. And then based on those two things, then we begin the process of editing, and in the process of editing, we tend to notice, well, there's this, like, actually, this is this question that, like, I actually hadn't really considered now that I'm, like, listening to him tell the story again. So let's go back and we'll ask him that. Or he didn't tell this thing. He told this one story in a slightly confusing way. Maybe we can have him retell that piece. So then we do a third follow-up interview. And that one tends to be a bit shorter because we know sort of like, okay, we want to get this, and this. And then hopefully, like, we have everything that we need from that.
So one thing I heard that is very cool, is that you, as a radio artist and a storyteller, are using some other audio tracks to emotionally carry the story on. Could you talk about that a little?
We use music. There's a lot of kind of subtle stuff going on. We actually, like, we run the voice through filters, so we're just sort of creating that space. We're just, like, very focused on the audio and also just sort of how the audio interacts. If it is a piece that has, like, kind of rich audio elements, to begin with, I will be collecting the sounds in the moment. In terms of finding the subjects, it's, well, as the show has become more popular, we have relied more and more on kind of outside pitches, so, like, listeners will write in with ideas for stories, or radio freelancers who will pitch stuff to us. But before that, it really was kind of all over the shop. I mean, sometimes it was just, like, stories that, like, a friend would tell me, you know, oh, my neighbor, you know, down the block, like, he's a survivalist or whatever. I didn't actually do that story, but I don't know. But someone was telling me about that the other day. Sometimes it's because we have this, like, slightly strange format, it's also very, very helpful for doing stuff that has been in the news to some degree. So, for instance, I did a story about a guy who was in his 20s and his wife died of cancer. And before she had died, she had written out sort of like her life goals, and he had committed his life to finishing out her life goals. So, and a lot of it was like quite ambitious. It was like, get a PhD, run a half marathon, take a train across Canada. And I had seen, he had been on a couple like TV shows, but just like these very quick little 4-minute segments where it was like, oh, here's this guy doing this crazy thing. You know, tell us a couple of things about it. Okay, cool, bye. And I knew there was like more of a long form story there. Things about it. Okay, cool, bye. And I knew there was like more of a long form story there. And I think he was like quite grateful to actually like take the time. Most of the people that I talk to are really happy with how things turn out, because I really give them the space and the time to talk things through in a way that you don't get in media generally. I'm sure we've all seen at some point some sort of like very combative interview between like a host and a guest. Maybe the guest is doing something wrong or whatever, but like then they serve no purpose other than to show that the host is like somehow morally superior, and I'm not interested in that. You know, if there is someone who's sort of like morally dodgy who I have on the show, I don't have them on the show so I can harangue them. I still want to understand them, be out in the world and just like meeting random weirdos
and open to serendipity.
And open to serendipity, yeah. I mean, especially in this day and age, like everything is like on the internet, and so it's very easy to have these like curated experiences in your lives, and sometimes it's nice to just like throw out the phone and just go for a walk and like see what the hell you happen upon. You know, the stories that I go after tend to be the ones where I don't know how I feel about them myself. You know, I don't go in with an agenda, and that often makes the best pieces when it's like when your mind changes over the course of working on it. That's the sign that you're on to something really good.
That was Nick Vanderkoek, producer of the podcast Love and Radio.
I'm Tom Rowe, and you're listening to the radio.
You take the ability to talk for granted, don't you? And why shouldn't you? You talk every day of your life and you don't think much about it. But did you realize that millions of people suffer from voice problems? These millions can't take talking for granted. For them, to talk is a struggle.
Do you have a voice like... Do you have a voice like... Do you have a voice like... Mine? Do you have a voice like... Do you have a voice like... Do you have a voice like... Mine? Do you have a voice like... Do you want a voice like mine? Do you want a voice like... Mine? Do you want a voice like... Do you want... Do you want a voice like... With a voice like mine, what would you want a voice like? Do you want a voice? Do you want a voice like? What would you do with a voice like? What would you do? How would you survive? Would you seize me? Would you hide? Would you seize power? Would you dissect it? Ingest it? Roll it around on your tongue? And then what? And then what? And then what? Would it give you pleasure? Would it get you in? Would it take you away? Gently? With a light touch? Take it out. Take it away. Take it. How can you take it out? Take it away. Take it gently? With a light, roll it around on your pleasure. And then what? 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 And then what?
Sang the best she'd ever sang. She couldn't ever sing any better. But Mr. Davidson never rang. She knew he would forget her. She'd seen him there and put herself to ransom. He had stared. He really was quite handsome. She had really looked her best. She couldn't ever look any better. But she knew she'd failed the test. She knew he would forget her.
Triumphant
was the way she felt as she acknowledged the applause.
Triumphant
was the way she felt when she saw him at the dressing room door. She was happier than she'd ever been as he praised her for her grace. But his expression changed, she had seen, as he leant to kiss her face. It ended there. He climbed. She quickly turned to hide her disappointment. She ripped her glittering gown, couldn't face another show, no. Her deodorant had let her down. She should have used Odorono.
Successful sound of wonderful Radio London.
Radio London.
Espers with Cruel Storm. Before that, from The Who's Sell Out, and Gregory Whitehead.
Somebody is crouching in a corner I've ignored since I was knee-high to an aunt I never met. There's a therapeutic pillow on the floor beside the dark, a piece of wall that is continually wet. And I don't know if I can see beyond the fingers of my hand that I can dangle at my will before my face. And I'm not sure that I believe that there is nothing up my sleeve that isn't comfortable and happy in its place. For I am empty and my emptiness surrounds me and engulfs me, and I love it, and its warmth and faint aroma make me smile. For being empty has potential. Think of all the things to fill me, all the pregnant possibilities on trial. So shove your gleeful mug in my direction, heal my throbbing word erection, take it in your mouth and try to smile. There's a lot more where that came from, and I know your disillusion is a key to doors that wait expectant mile on miles. So take it all, 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 in a valley full of soul. Take it all, 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 cause it's totally your fault. Cringing at a joke I told, well, drunk and 41 years old, I wonder if it's karma after all. But only for a second, till I'm back into a pattern that I doodled on the floor when I was small. And I don't know if I can go as far as where I used to go without a thought for my own safety or of yours. And I'm not sure that if I went there that I'd like the buried treasure that I hid beneath the crazed linoleum floor. For I am fearful and my fear is all around me and engulfs me, and I love it, but its warmth and faint aroma make me sick. My fear is all I recognize from when I was so little that my eyes were soft to every adult trick. So take my shriveled psyche, stretch it out between your fingers, look through lenses made to magnify my soul. But there's no more where that came from, and I know your disillusion is a key to doors that all obscure that gaping f***ing hole. So take it all, 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 with a valley full of soul. Take it all, 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 cause it's totally your fault. Yeah, take it all, 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 with a valley full of soul. Take it all, 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 cause it's totally your fault. Take it all, 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 with a valley full of soul.
Long suffering, you know you can't see.